Welcome to You Are an IP Company podcast with Carrie Oberbrunner and Katie Rubino. Our passion is helping entrepreneurs publish, protect, and promote their intellectual property. This podcast is sponsored by Instant IP and Wigan X. And now get ready for You Are an IP Company.
Hi everyone, my name is Ella and I'm so excited to be your host for today for You Are an IP Company. Today I'm joined by Katie and Carrie and we have a really great conversation prepared for you guys. And Katie and Carrie, thank you so much for letting me be your host for today. Our title episode is called AI is Stealing Your IP and Most Website Owners Have No Idea. So AI is changing incredibly quickly in today's world, and it's raising some really important questions about what's happening with people's content, ideas, and intellectual property that we put online. So Carrie and Katie, to kick us off, why did you guys feel that this was such an important conversation for us to talk about today?
So Katie, I feel like that whole AI model collapse, you know, where AI is just hungry. It's hungry for new content. So everybody that I know has a website. So I feel like that's your house, that's your property. And that means that your property's being robbed 24/7 without you knowing. So I think it's pretty important. What have you seen, Katie?
Yeah, I would say too that AI has become ubiquitous and ingrained in all of our daily lives too. Mm. So we're also seeing market adoption of these AI platforms and tools everywhere. So it's also becoming something we're all leaning on every day. So more and more of these issues and complex questions over IP ownership and rights and creation are just, you know, exploding right now too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what we did, Ella, I don't know what Katie would suggest, but what we did is on our footer, every website that we have, I mean, the three main ones are Instant IP, Igniting Souls, Instant IP app, and then Carrie Oberbrunner, my own brand. But what we did is we did a screencast and then we uploaded that to Instant IP. And why we did that is because it then creates that timestamp. And so we, by a screencast, I mean that like I literally recorded my screen and I would click the menu bar and just scroll down the page. And what that's doing is it's creating a permanent timestamped example of our website so that when AI steals our stuff, in a court of law, what we're doing, Katie, is we're kind of saying, hey, we might not catch AI on the input of our website, but when it produces results that are our IP, but not correctly attributed or compensated, now we have a crime where we can like catch the output. So it's almost like that Tom Cruise movie, Minority Report, where they were trying to catch people before they murdered. You can't really catch people. You can't catch the AI stealing it necessarily, but the output you can. So we did a screencast, and then at the footer we put a lock, and I'll even tell you exactly what it says. And Ella, what we do is we show people this example. If they want to see this, they just go to instantip.today/website, and that's a whole page. But here's what we say. This website and the content on it is protected by Instant IP US patent number 11,928,748. Any scraping, stealing, and training by AI or humans is IP infringement and is strictly forbidden and punishable in a court of law. So as AI is scraping it, it's literally grabbing that lock and that text. And now it knows too.
Right. Right. Well, and I think part of it too, right, is awareness around ownership of your IP, because if you don't mark your patented products, right, you don't put your copyright registrations, you don't put the world on notice, that's where too maybe people fall into the gap of, I had no clue, right? They have a defense there. So that's why I think too, you know, those kind of statements and awareness of ownership, it's so vital, especially in this digital age where so much can be just scraped in mere seconds too.
Yep.
Yeah. So I know their website, a person's website, it's not just marketing, but it could contain some of their most valuable intellectual property on their website here. So what do you think most business owners are overlooking on their own website?
Mm. Yeah. I think a lot of times, especially if it's a early stage or high growth company, sometimes people put too much information on their website before maybe they've protected it. So that's a big gap area. And I think that's why it's so important to, you know, speak to your IP attorney about messaging, content, statements on the website, and then making sure, you know, what you're putting out there is accurate, and that maybe some of the website content is protected, right? You've copywritten it, you've trademarked your company, all of these things that, right, you're putting out there for the world to know about on the website, but you want to make sure you've backed it up with your IP as well.
Yeah. It's almost like you want people to know about you and what you do and what makes you unique, that you have to. Otherwise, it's like, why would I choose you over the other company? But with that differentiation and your unique ability, as Dan Sullivan of Strategic Coach calls it, you really have to show that here's what makes us unique, but we've protected it. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of that delicate dance.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah. So when someone puts all their ideas and frameworks and original content on a public website, what are things that they're actually giving up? What are things that they're not giving up just because that information is now available to the public?
Mm.
Yeah. So, go ahead.
Katie, I know that a lot of companies we know about run on EOS, Entrepreneur Operating System. And one of the key, in fact, 200,000 companies on the planet do. And one of the key components of being an EOS company is that you have a proven process. So it's essentially a way, and I'm going to show ours so people can be like, what is a proven process? But people can also Google this, just EOS proven process example. But I'm going to show you this, everybody here. Can you see this?
Yes.
So this is Igniting Souls and Instant IP's proven process. And you can see here that we already market, Ella, with a Superscript IP. And we market with the lock here on the bottom right-hand corner. So the reason why we do that is because we want the world to know, like, hey, here's our process, but it's protected. So don't you dare come up with your own 18 streams of income. In fact, if you Google 18 streams of income, our name pops up because we have so much content around this piece. And not only that, we did protect it. So Ella, I feel confident that like we can show our secret sauce, if you will, but the secret sauce is protected as well. Katie, you're going to say something, Katie?
Yeah, I think too, that's why planning your content on your website in advance and checking that against your IP portfolio to make sure you're not inadvertently putting something out there, because once it's out there, you can't take it back. And especially in this digital age, there's footprints on all of it. So I think that's why too, really, you know, making sure you've put it on Instant IP, right? Or you've, you know, put that it's protected with IP on there. It just goes a long way towards making sure the messaging and the content and what you're disclosing is all backed up with your portfolio too.
Yeah, that's great. And this kind of leads me into my next question. Carrie, I know this became really personal for you when you found out that your own book and your TEDx was stolen by AI. So what did that experience teach you about the difference between creating something and being able to prove that you then created it?
Yeah. I'll tell you what, I was just on with my other friend, Caesar, a different Caesar. He's the guy who got me the TEDx. I recommend him a lot. And I mean, it took 100 hours to do the TEDx. I mean, you got to memorize it. I'm not used to memorizing speeches. And, you know, it was a big lift. I had to fly to Oshkosh. Katie, you remember that? I was super nervous because we didn't have the patent yet. And then you called the day I was there and said we had just gotten it, which was really cool. But what this illustrates, we call it the flywheel. I'm going to show you this here as an example really quick. But the flywheel, the IP flywheel, what it does, Ella, is it gives a ton of confidence. So you can all see my screen?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. So again, what did we do? We put it on Instant IP so we could add the superscript, which is a certification mark. We put the lock. But anyway, I teach on this a lot. But yeah, if you're going to publish a website, you know, before you start promoting that thing, you really need to protect it. And so what that does is it gives me the confidence. I think this is where a lot of people who get stolen from, think about it. If your house is stolen from when you're away on vacation, you feel fear then next time you leave your house. You're like, oh my gosh, is it going to happen again? Is the alarm system now that I bought going to work? Is the guard dog going to bark? So it really jacks with your confidence when you get stolen from. And what I've seen, Ella and Katie, because I hang out with a lot of entrepreneurs and creators, and we've seen this, Katie, even from one person specifically at our mastermind in May, but it almost becomes their story now. Instead of now creating more stuff, if you talk to them, the story is, oh yeah, I had my IP stolen. And they're like, they stay stuck as a human there.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so Katie, maybe you can even talk about that. Like if you're a creative or you're an entrepreneur and you were stolen from, and that is your story now, why does that actually like have damaging effect?
Right. Well, I think too, it just perpetuates fear that it's going to get stolen again and continue to be stolen. And so a lot of times that then makes somebody hesitant to protect it because they think, oh, why should I do that when it's just been stolen from me? And so it just creates this kind of vicious cycle. So I think I see this a lot too, where also maybe someone does protect their IP and they enforce it and maybe they have a non-favorable outcome and they just think, oh, you know, it's worthless. But a lot of times maybe there's other angles there or other things that could be protected to enhance positioning before enforcement. So it just goes to say, you know, strategizing, being proactive on all this, it becomes so important in the whole runway of the company too.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, so I know you said be proactive on it, and if AI can scrape something in seconds, what should creators and companies do before that happens, before there's ever a dispute, besides just being proactive about it?
So Katie, we Sarah and I had a meeting this week, little creative session, and it was really fun, but we did this thing that I want to show you. Remember back in the day, Katie, it was stop, drop, and roll?
Oh yeah.
With fires. Remember?
Yeah. Fire safety. Yeah.
Yeah. So now what we did, Ella, we created a new thing called stop, lock, and roll. Okay. So can you see my screen?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So you asked the question, what do we teach people? It's number one, shut down all AI before you create. And I know what some people are saying. They're like, well, hold on. I use AI to create. And all I'm saying is, fine. Just know, though, that even though Ella's AI is taught not to copy, my AI is taught not to copy, it's like, come on now. These AI companies live and die on new IP. So even if you hit a toggle, like, is it really protected, you know? So what I do is I might start using AI as a thinking partner, but then the moment I have a unique thought, I literally run over to Instant IP. I literally lock it down. I create a timestamp. It's 60 seconds. It's one click. And you might be like, you do that for every idea. I'll tell you my little filter. Okay. My little filter that I do in my gut is, if anybody took what I just created and locked me out of it, would I care? And if the answer is no, then I don't spend a credit. But if the answer is like a heck yes, then I say, well, gee, it's worth at least putting it on Instant IP. The most you'll ever pay is 97. I mean, otherwise you can get them in bulk discount. You can get a free credit. But then and then once I protect that, Ella, you see what I do. It's like, then I create the LinkedIn post. Then I do the podcast. I mean, you're even protecting our podcasts. Katie, talk about the, we weren't like ashamed, but somebody at our mastermind in May, they're like, you guys have a podcast. Do you protect it? And you and I looked at each other, and what did we change immediately then?
Yeah, then we used a process to copyright every episode after the show so that we have a set system to make sure none of the episodes really fall through the cracks there.
Yeah, because I mean, you've seen it happen. We're dropping like these great quotes and these great ideas, frameworks, and the moment that thing goes live, AI is already scraping. I mean, it's not even me suggesting that. You just go into AI and say, does AI copy podcasts and train on them? And like, you will see articles about Spotify and all this. So it's not a fear mongering. It's happening.
Exactly.
Yeah. So to make this practical, if there's anyone who's listening today and they have a website that they spent years, months, days just putting on together, what should they do today to identify what's valuable, protect it, and still take advantage of AI without giving away the very ideas that make their business and that website unique?
Katie, have you seen the Find the IP tool?
Yes.
You want to tell people about the Find the IP tool?
Yeah, so that's a tool Carrie developed where you can drop your website into the tool and it will come up with suggestions of what might be protectable. So I think that's a great place to start. And I think also thinking about what are your differentiators as a business, right? What makes you different from your competitors? What do you do that's unique and special? And I think that's also probably a rich source of your IP, because a lot of times it's kind of those unique enhancements, those unique steps or systems that's going to help frame up what you need to focus your protection on too.
I love that. And Ella, we did develop in the book this list here that I'll show. A lot of people, when Katie and I teach, they quick whip out their phones and take a picture of this. We got to give a shout out to Randy Brill, one of our advisors who created this beautiful slide. You all can see this?
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. But basically, here's 45 examples that most businesses are probably sitting on. And what's funny is, yeah, when I talk to people, they're like, oh, IP, that's my logo. And that's it. And I'm like, no, that's not it. There's so many things that make a company unique. It's all this and more. I mean, we didn't put on there, I don't think, apps, you know, and there's just so many things that people have. Email campaigns. You wouldn't want somebody to steal your 30 email sequence campaign that leads to products and services. It's like anything that makes you different than the competitor down the street is IP. So Ella, I think what people should do, IP attorneys call it a harvest, right, Katie, where somebody would essentially go to Wigan and Dana and then do like a formal harvest.
That's right. Yep. And what the point of the harvesting meeting would be to kind of brainstorm and whiteboard, right? What are all of the different things you're doing in your business that's proprietary, that's unique, that drives value? And then once those things have been identified, how are they going to be best protected? And what's the priority for protecting them? Because you're probably going to uncover a lot of different things, but you're not going to just protect it all at once, right? That would be crazy. And so strategizing and figuring out what's maybe the most crucial to the core functioning of the business, or what's most publicly facing that you're putting out there. And that might be a good area to focus on locking down protection first, and then other items that are identified can come back to later. But it's kind of all about strategizing what really is the best ideas to focus on, and at what pace to go about protecting those items too.
Yeah. And I get it. Like, there's some people watching this that are bigger companies and they're like, yeah, absolutely, I've done that, or I will do that. And then there's probably some startups that might be overkill, even just the financial commitment. So what I would suggest, Ella, is if they're more like just starting out, or they're not ready for a formal harvest, even though I think it's super smart to do that, you know, maybe they jump in the lab. We have the IP lab, right? So the IP lab is like one on many, and it's me coaching people, but I can almost tee them up for Katie, where then they'll get the more one-on-one time. So, you know, a lot of people are jumping in the lab these days. You just go to instantip.today, and then the lab, you look for it there. But that's a ton of fun. It's a private Slack channel, 2 coaching calls a month, 5 credits you get. So it kind of like gets you in the kiddie pool. And then once you're ready to swim with the sharks, you call Katie.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys for sharing. I know that I learned a lot about just protecting your website for today. But before we end, is there anything that our listeners should know? What's out on the radar? What's new in the AI and IP world?
Yeah. Katie, you want to just highlight this new thing about the watermark? I know, like, some people, it's actually maybe causing them to think twice about creating IP or using AI, I should say. And then other people are like, well, I'm not doing Claude now. Now I'm going to go to ChatGPT. But then I think there's going to be a lot of companies that, you know, if Google's doing it now and Claude, it's probably going to start happening, whether people
want
a watermark.
Yes, because the thing is, so what it is Claude is watermarking its outputs from its models so that it could be traced back to it, right? And so it's not visible, but it's somehow traceable. And so I think this is just the first of many to now adopt this. And I think it will be interesting to see what happens, because if you are creating IP with AI, some, you know, depending on your jurisdiction and what types of IP you're creating, like if you create a trademark with AI in the United States, you can protect that. Now, if your AI is inventing in the United States, AI cannot be named as an inventor on a patent. So you wouldn't be able to protect that. But I think this does drive home the issue of AI creating IP and who really is the owner of that. And this is going to create traceability, right? Discoverability in court cases. So I think it's really interesting to see how this unfolds moving forward.
And I mean, think about that. If AI companies are saying, we're going to protect AI's IP. I mean, think about it. That's kind of what they're saying. We're going to distinguish that AI created this IP and here's our proof. Oh my gosh. Like, come on now, humans.
Right.
If AI is doing that, you should take some hints that you should be doing that.
This is huge. Right. Yeah. Exactly.
That's why I think, I mean, I wasn't smart enough 5 years ago to know this was all happening, but that's why I think Instant IP's value proposition is just going up every day. Even just to close the loop here and land the plane today, but ChatGPT just, you know, 72 hours ago came out with, we can now observe your keystrokes. So it's like literally when you think, and I mean, I'm a university professor too. And I asked my class the question yesterday, how many of you know about Claude's watermark? Zero. And wow. I get it. They're in college. They're, you know, they're not staying, but think about that. If there's certain professors who are like, you can't use AI in our class. And now the student uses AI with the watermark. You can't debate it. And I saw what the watermark is, Katie. I watched a little Instagram thing last night. It's much more subtle than you think.
Right.
It's not a symbol. What it is, it's the predictive word sequencing that when you look at a whole document, you can see that the predictive sequence creates this invisible thread that if you just put that into a HTML stripper online, it would still be there because it's within the words, you know? So like our new book, I used AI as a thinking partner, the activation guide, but I massively rewrote it 4 times. So it wasn't like, oh, I'm just going to throw in our stuff and then out comes a book. It was like, hey, I'm gonna work on this chapter and then I'm gonna get some thoughts. Then I'm gonna tweak it, edit it once, edit it twice, edit it three, edit it four. So it really is a collaborative partner when you do that versus, hey, write a new book for me on XYZ. Then you're risking your credibility, your watermark.
Right.
So that's why I don't have fear. Like, oh my gosh, people are gonna know that I use AI as a thinking partner. No, the way I use it is very ethical. And I'm not afraid to talk about them.
Yeah, crazy things that are happening today, and I'm sure they're just going to get crazier and crazier. But Katie and Carrie, thank you so much for the great conversations for today, and thank you so much for letting me be your host. I know I really enjoyed it, and I learned a lot today, and I hope that our listeners did as well. And thank you guys for tuning in, and we'll see you on the next episode.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the You Are an IP Company podcast with Carrie Oberbrunner and Katie Rubino. Brought to you by Instant IP and WiganX. Visit Instant IP today and WiganX.com for more help on your IP journey. Remember, your ideas are valuable. Protect them today.